thank everyone again for coming out to the Long Island Retro Gaming Expo.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We have another fantastic panel lined up with Chris, Dan, and Dean from the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. I know I set the bar high for you guys.
Don't oversell us.
Hi. Bye. No, I'm just kidding. Good afternoon. I'm just saying good evening. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to, this is going to be what, episode 113 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. I am Chris Randazzo, and I'm your host. With me this afternoon is the our special guest, returning champion, Mr. Dean DeFalco.
I love being a champion. Thank you.
And our resident Dan Ryan. Dan Ryan.
What's up? Shouldn't I be returning champion? I mean, like, technically, I am the only one who won the trivia contest that we did.
Like, it's true. You've also outlasted every other co-host.
I have. Even though I didn't start the show with it, I still made it for... All right, fair enough.
All right, so returning champion, champion undefeated, Dan Ryan. There we go.
Love it. Brilliant.
So we do a weekly podcast on geekade.com. We're the official podcast of stoneagegamer.com. We're three dorks who talk about video games, as you probably have figured out. And me and my Dan and myself are retro gamer lunatics.
Me and my Dan.
And Dean, the Vest Lord here, is actually, the last episode was his final episode of the show. He has left us and moved on, but he's also here doing this one as a special guest because he's special and has a vest. I'm on fire today.
Oh, God.
Man, me too.
So the fun thing that we tend to do at conventions is we do this challenge where... We called this one Buy Something, Will Ya, where the three of us went our separate ways, and we walked along the show floor, and we tried to find the, I don't know, weirdest, most interesting, whatever we could find for $20 or less. So the three of us, we all bought something. None of us know what the other one is. And now we're going to compete to see who bought the most interesting thing, and you guys are going to choose who won said experience. Dan won last time. We did this at Too Many Games a few months back. And, Dean, what did you buy?
Right now?
No, that Too Many Games.
Oh, God.
So put things into perspective here.
Yeah, so there wasn't too many crazy things there, and I was having a tough time. So I went to this one booth who seemed to have everything
The shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was everything that...
It's always a shirt.
It's everything. I need to wear things. Anyway, it was everything that a hobo would have in his shopping cart if he was pushing it along. So it was either between...
It's a very specific hobo.
Yeah, the first...
I don't know any hobo. I don't know a lot of hobos, but any of the ones that I do know, I don't think would actually have any of this stuff there.
You haven't met enough hobos.
Apparently not.
Anyway, the first thing I saw was a... tube of toothpaste from 1980 that was MC Hammer licensed, and it was flavored grape. Now, as good as that was, the gentleman at the booth sold me on a shirt that was a jug of iced tea, the wrapper, with a nice tray of ice cubes, the wrapper, inside of it with... Mr. T tea bag. Inside. Oddly enough, that didn't win, and I wore it the rest of the night. I felt great about that, but it was certainly something to wear. I do wear it to this day. I wear it to work, and everyone just kind of looks down the rest of the day. I don't know why.
As well they should.
Now, I thought I had a shoe in last time. I bought an actual trash can full of e-readers for $20. Like the Game Boy Advance accessories, trash can, yay tall. Dumped it out on the floor, even gave them out to the audience. But Dan won with his Sonic the Hedgehog playable shampoo bottles, which were really quite spectacular. So we did the same thing here today. We walked around the show floor. So Dan, why don't you start us off? What did you wind up buying today?
All right, so what I was able to find caught my eye, one, because it was cheap, and I'm cheap, and two, because it was just so ridiculous to actually see this here. And I only bought one. They were $3 a piece. I only bought one because really you only need one of these. This right here is a lunch bag of the Ultimate Warrior. Now, for those of you who don't know who the Ultimate Warrior is, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, he was a guy named Jim Helwig who was a monster steroid head and was huge in the late 80s and early 90s in WWF wrestling at the time. And little kids loved him because he ran out to the ring and he shook the ropes and then he like ran around and did a couple of really lame moves and like shoulder tackled a dude. And that was it. And that was enough to get him to be heavyweight champion. After he left the WWE, or WWF at the time, he lost his mind, became a crazy conservative. If you go and look up Jim Helwig YouTube rants, they are some of the most misogynistic, homophobic, racist things you will ever see. It's kind of amazing. He also legally changed his name to Warrior.
Because why
like,
not?
Like, not a first name and not like Jim Warrior. Like, oh, no, your name Jim
like
Warrior?
Roseanne?
That's pretty cool. Yeah, like Roseanne. He was just Warrior. And, like, he died a couple years ago because when you do that many drugs, your heart is going to explode. That's just the thing that will happen. And his wife was on WWE TV speaking, and, like, they always put the little nameplate at the bottom, and it said Dana Warrior, which is, like, it takes a moment where you're like, this dead man's wife is here to give a really nice eulogy about her husband, but it says Dana Warrior. That's really funny. So this is a personalized lunch bag. Well, it will be personalized once I write my name on it and take it to work so no one else will be able to steal it from me. Right down here, $3. I got this from he had like a whole sand bucket full of these, like that you would take to the beach. I was really hoping there would be more than just Warrior in it, but no, just him. Video game trading post. He is in the back corner over here. He's a really nice dude. Go check him out. He had a lot of other really cool stuff. He had some California Raisins toys for some reason, and some just like he had some weird stuff. So that is my contribution. This really awfully drawn. Like, this is embarrassing if Rob Liefeld drew this. This would be bad.
Ouch. That's harsh.
It's not good.
It looks like he's smelling a wicked fart. Like,
oh, God.
We're getting ready to make one.
He's protecting my lunch. Like, really fiercely, I'm really excited.
For $3, you couldn't ask for anything better.
I'm excited about it.
Well done.
So that's what I got.
All right.
Totally video game related.
Totally. There are NES wrestling games with him in it.
There are.
True. True story. All right, Dean, what do you got?
So it was really, really hot in that room, and after a while, I just got to the point where I was like, I need to buy something now. I need to cool off. So I got a...
Is there a shirt in there?
I got a stack of these. these are Nintendo Game Pack three scratch off cards and two stickers, and I guess I'll open one of them just to see what's inside of it.
I think you have to.
Can you probably know some stuff about this, Chris? Is there anything special about these? Or
I mean, I have a couple of them at home. They're just cool. They just have like Nintendo artwork on them.
Is there a rare hollow foil chase card in there?
I hope so, but as far as I know, the answer is no.
Now, why are these scratch offs? What do these do? Like, I
think they're lottery tickets.
what do I win? A mushroom? Are they magic mushrooms? How to play? Find three and you win. Find okay. What do I win? You're not telling me what I win. Okay, it doesn't matter. They're old, so that it. Regardless, I don't think if I gave these to a Nintendo of America store, they'd honor it. So
this has got a secret tip on the back of it. This is really good advice. In Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, upon entering the villages in Hyrule, you should talk to everyone you meet. Get close to them and press A.
Ooh.
That's a secret.
That's what I've been doing wrong.
You've been pressing B.
I've been yelling at them. Like, speak to me! Why?
Well, this one's not too bad. This is for Punch-Out. King Hippo has a real weak stomach. Punch repeatedly at his face, and he will try to guard it. Then land many blows to his big belly. And there's a secret agent guy. He's really trying there. So, all right.
That's almost how that works.
Does one of these scratch-offs give you Little Samson? Because then it might be worth it.
Probably not.
Probably not. No.
Oh, man, look at these things.
Yeah, the art's really cool.
The artwork
on
these is fantastic. Yeah. Like, this is a, you know, Legend of Zelda. He's fighting a Goma there. It looks like stuff from the instruction manuals. Like,
you all brought your binoculars to the panel, right?
Great.
So that you can see.
Trust me, they're awesome. He's got some Mouser here. This double dragon one is rad. Wow. Look at that. And they're all the cards they have, like they got the bent lines around the screen, so it looks like a CRT. Boy, this is just glorious.
Does anyone want some sweet, sweet Nintendo game packs? Because I just bought $20 worth, and I don't know if I can handle having all six packs.
That was $20 worth?
Oh, yeah, I mean, why not go big or go home?
This was three.
I could have just bought one for three.
And it's practical.
But I wanted seven for 20, and I mean, I could just staple these to myself and make clothing, but that just doesn't sound as fun.
You could weave these together into an outfit.
Yeah, yeah, I guess I could make hard armor, but I don't think that's a good idea. That's probably not conducive to any sort of health things going on. So I got extras of these. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Maybe I'll just glue them to the wall. Maybe. I don't know.
It's great. A great choice.
Yeah.
Glue them to the
wall.
I love that you offered them to the audience and not a person was like, oh, yeah, totally. I want one. Everybody was just like.
Oh, see, there we go. Boom. Didn't make it.
Not even close.
Boom. Not making it. Oh, there it goes. We're going out there. Boom.
There we go.
Made it.
If
all
you
right.
put somebody's eye out, like. You guys have insurance for that, right? Just we're totally covered if Dean kills someone at the panel. Cool.
I've done worse, so oh no, I haven't.
All right. Well, I guess it's my turn. So I went with the timeliest thing that I could find on the sales floor here. I bought a copy of Izzy's Quest for the Olympic Rings for Sega Genesis. Now, I believe this was from the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. They made a mascot named Izzy, which is this hideous blue creature. And they decided to like market the heck out of him, and they made a game. And U.S. Gold made it, because gold, probably that's why they chose that publisher. And this game's awful.
It's not for their pedigree in video game development?
No, no, that great port of Strider Returns for Game Gear. No, that's a... really doesn't hold up too well.
No. But
yeah, I mean, really, it's kind of hard to not love a whatever the hell this thing is. you run around trying to collect the Olympic rings, which have been stolen. Let's see what this says. The ancient Greeks ignited the first Olympic torch hundreds of years ago. The eternal flame has now been stolen. Izzy, the Olympic character, needs your... The Olympic character? Okay. needs your help. Without the flame, the 1996 Olympic Games will be canceled. Help Izzy find the five Olympic rings and six magical quests to re-enter the reality vortex and then relight the... Wow, things got weird. And then relight the flame in the human world. It's a tough job, but with Izzy's morphing abilities and Ooh. Your help, you'll be big-time heroes.
Yeah, it says right here, he's the master of morph.
Good.
So, yeah,
from the X-Men?
Sure, why not?
Good.
Yeah.
It was the 96 Olympics?
What? Let's see, this is copyright 92.
It was in Hotlanta. Well,
yeah. Oh, yeah, Olympic Games, Atlanta 96. All right. See, I thought this was for the Barcelona 92 ones, but I must be crazy. Well, something this American, I guess, could only be from an American set of Olympics.
He's got two different color eyebrows. What is even going on with him?
They're meant to be the Olympic rings. See, the rest of them are on his butt.
I can't.
Obviously.
I mean, the Elder Challenge. Wow, this is a... There's fencing. Oh, I see. He does all the Olympic events. That's so clever. Yeah.
That's
all
a right. thing you now own.
It sure is. This is a Genesis game I did not previously own. I can't wait to slam this in my Genesis when I get home and watch the blast processing take over. It's rated kids to adults, ages 6 and up, so I'll have to keep my son away from it for many reasons. And that's what I got. So let's have a tally. Who thinks that Dan and his Ultimate Warrior barf bag wins? That's pretty solid.
It is, now that you point that out, it is like a personalized barf bag.
It really strikes me more as a barf bag.
No one else may throw up in this bag but me.
This will contain the ultimate barf. And then he'll protect it. Who likes Dean's Nintendo trading cards?
I always love the amount of sympathetic claps I get. Oh, God.
Do you notice how... Like, the audience always looks around, too, like, oh, nobody's clapped. All right, well, all right, a couple. Nobody clapped for him, so we will.
And Izzy's Quest for the Olympic Rings.
See, there it was.
Yeah.
It was waiting for one.
There it is. Two in a row for Dan. Well done. Ultimate Warrior barf bag.
It is the power of the... because I was a little warrior when I... No, I'm just kidding. I was totally not... I was totally a Hulkamaniac. Because he's way less racist.
You weren't part of the Macho Madness?
No, back then, because Macho Man was a heel. So, like, I couldn't cheer for him.
But he was the best heel
He was
possible.
The Macho King. That was
I know
no good.
Nothing about wrestling.
You should know more. It's good. We'll talk on the way home. It'll be fine.
It'll be an hour.
Crash course. It'll be great.
All right. So I did buy one other thing, not for this competition, but I was super happy that I found this. I've always been looking for one. This is a monstrosity, if ever there was one. Does anyone here know what the Tiger R-Zone is?
Show of hands, anyone?
Anyone?
Bueller? Well,
right.
We got one, two.
All right, we got two. All right, so there was the Virtual Boy, which was Nintendo's crazy 3D red thing, and Tiger Electronics, the maker of those really dumb, like, press a button and it goes beep, like they got the frames of animation plugged in there.
We need
They
a red
decided
thing.
This is the next big thing. We're going to make one of our own. And so they made this thing called the Tiger R-Zone, which was basically like those crappy LCD games, but you strapped it to your head and you could only see it in red. It was really bad. So they decided to make other versions of it, including this, which is the R-Zone XPG, which stands for Extreme Pocket Game.
Oh.
And this one you don't have to strap to your head. I was able to pick this up at one of the stands in there. Let's see. These guys were super nice. It is Evolution Gaming and Collectibles. They had a lot of really cool stuff there that I wanted to buy, but I do not have a lot of dollars. So, unfortunately, I don't
have... But the dollars that you did have...
They
went
spent on R-Zone.
They were allocated to... Because this is just so ridiculous. So, you pull the screen out like this. I don't know how well you can see this. And this, it projects the game onto this little mirror thing in red. So, the games themselves are all atrocious. And now, instead of strapping it to your head, you get two extra buttons. Because I don't think I think the original one just had the two face buttons. This has four. A, B, C, and D. A, B, C, and D in weird shapes. And this R-Zone thing came with Star Wars Jedi Adventure, which I can only imagine is really, really good. 1997 Lucasfilms, and it's got something on it. It's got its own film on it. Ew.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it. You don't know where that came from.
Well, that's exciting. So this is by far my favorite thing I got here at the show. There was a copy of Skyskipper for Atari 2600 at a booth that I was almost literally drooling on. Skyskipper is this really old Nintendo arcade game that like barely says Nintendo's name on it, and it's got like you're just a little dude in a plane, and there's an Atari 2600 version. This is it's not great. Look it up. It's a weird little game. If you're a Nintendo lunatic like I am, then it's a fun little piece of their history. But unfortunately, I ran out of money, so. Let's see. How are we doing on time? It is 2:46. We've got
forever.
We've got an hour left. All right. So let's. Dan and I were talking earlier. We're going to talk a little bit about the games that we've been playing lately because you know that's what we do. We talk games. We play games. Dan, you've been playing AM2R a lot lately, right?
Right.
Talk
right.
to us a little bit about your experience with that so far.
Well, AM2R is another Metroid 2 remake that has been in the works for 10 years at this point. Finally, this past week, was released, put up online, and I think a day later was hit with a DMCA, a Digital Millennium Copyright Act claim by Nintendo. So the developer had to take it down. However, unfortunately for Nintendo, since it made its way onto the internet, it will never go away. There will always be a place for you to be able to go get it. The original Metroid 2 Return of Samus came out on the puke green Game Boy way back in the day and was relatively difficult to play. Therefore, not a lot of people played it. So this remake takes everything that was in that game and basically imagines if it was remade around the time that they made Metroid Fusion. So it adds a ton of powers, apparently, because I didn't finish the original one. It adds a ton of powers and weapons and stuff like that, expands the map. And what's really cool about this game is it is a brand new, to me anyway, Metroid game that really feels like a new Metroid game. You know, it's the 30th anniversary of Metroid right now, and Nintendo has given us...
Federation Force!
Federation yeah! Force, which is not what... Anybody certainly in this room was like, you know, 30th anniversary of Metroid, you know what I want? Some chibi shooter. That's going to be awesome. That's exactly, how did they know? How did they, they're so good.
That's what I wanted.
Read my mind.
Yeah.
It's, so this game plays a lot like Fusion. I think to me, like the best part of it is you can map your controller and there's a button to automatically switch into the morph ball. So it makes the gameplay really smooth. I know that's like a really weird thing to be excited about, but as you're running and you're like, I'm going to have to roll under that, I don't have to tap down twice now. I can just hit a button, and it makes it really smooth. It's really, really fun.
I mean, it almost seems like that's because like, usually you do that in Metroid Prime because you couldn't just tap down to turn into the morph ball. They mapped it to a button. So.
Right.
And it, what's really neat about it is I've seen a few things with this game that seem to take a lot of hints from Metroid Prime and add them to a 2D Metroid, which is a really unique thing, because even Zero Mission didn't have much Prime DNA in it, but especially if you're listening to the music, the primary theme in Metroid 2 is one of my favorite Metroid themes. It's just a really catchy tune, and I was curious what the remake music was going to sound like, and I kind of expected them to take a more Super Metroid route like they did with Metroid Zero Mission. They took all the NES music, and then they made it sound a lot like something that came out of Super Metroid, but instead, the music has a very Metroid Prime flavor to it, and it was unexpected, and it sounds phenomenal. So, and there's also some sort of scanning mechanism that they added to the game. How does that work?
Yeah, so when you enter certain areas of the room, it says scanning the room, and sometimes that'll pop up and say there are four Metroids in this area that you have to kill before you unlock the next portion of the map. Other times, it'll give you little bits and pieces of the story. So not stuff that I think was in the original one. It gives you way more backstory, kind of fills you in on everything that's going on. And it's well written. Like, there's some new graphics that are there. It's pretty cool. I like it quite a bit.
Well, I'm looking forward to playing it because, well, I don't have it yet. But this fine gentleman here in the plaid shirt with the cats on his head, Matt Mudge, yes, he has cats on his head. He's lending me a laptop so that I can actually play it, so I'm super stoked to do that. I've actually been playing through the Metroid franchise since we started getting on this Metroid kick. On Geeky, we've been doing a bunch of Metroid-related stuff, and then the latest episode of Wave Back was about Metroid. We did 3 weeks in a row of a Metroid retrospective, and so I started playing through the series with my son, who's about 3 years old, and he doesn't really get it very much, but he thinks it's neat. He thinks Samus is neat. He asks for games by game characters' names, which is great. Like, he likes to play Link, not Zelda. He wants me to play Samus, not Metroid. And we played through Zero Mission together, and he really liked that. So I moved on to Super Metroid. We just finished that. Now I'm trying Prime with him, and Prime's definitely a little bit more ghastly than the other ones. Like, it's not as colorful, and the bosses are kind of scary looking, because they're all big and 3D and pointy and whatnot, but he seems to be digging it more or less, but I'm playing it on the Prime Trilogy on the Wii U, and the motion controls are divisive, to say the least. I remember really liking the motion controls back when this first came out, and when they work really well, but I still wish there was an option to just press buttons. Because, you know, 9 times out of 10, this is working fine, but my TV is relatively close to the sun coming through the window, and if the sun is shining on the window, then the IR gets all screwed up, and regardless, Metroid Prime is just, it's as good as I remember. Like, as a game, just playing through it still feels like Metroid, and it holds up remarkably well. And I know a lot of stuff from that generation holds up pretty well, but this, I think, just even visually speaking, just the art direction is just crazy good in that. Dean, what have you been playing lately?
Dirt. Been making mug castles.
Just out in your backyard?
Yeah, no, I happened to get No Man's Sky, yesterday. So I popped that in, and I don't know what to think about it yet. You're just traveling to planets and stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's great, cool. Let's go to another planet, and I go to another one. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you got the warp drive. You can go somewhere. And I was like, where do I go? And they're like, anywhere. And I'm like, I need direction. Where am I going? Center of the universe. And so after a while, I'm kind of like, all right, like, what am I doing here? What am I looking for? What's the point? There's no point. You just do it. And I'm like, you're kind of killing me here with the lack of direction. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm super into it yet. I don't know if I'm sold on the whole premise of you can explore anything. I mean, getting to the center of the universe is cool, but that looks like that's a long time away, and I don't think I'm going to have enough of an attention span to get there. However, I have met some really cool aliens that, like, bark and squirm and do weird things, which is cool, and they all want to trade with me, which is great. And that's about it. Like, I don't find the game any more interesting than that. I feel like people kind of overhyped it, but that's just me. I don't know. I played a lot of those, like, free roam building survival type games, so maybe it's just kind of dulled my my appreciation for those titles. So, I don't know. Could be worse. It's very pretty, I could tell you that much. And I got a cool gun now, and my spaceship flies. And, yeah, and then I found another spaceship that crashed. And, there, like, some guy died because a monster ate him. And I'm like, oh, that's dark. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I got what I asked for, which or what I assumed I was getting, which was a space exploration game. Because that's all you do is explore. So, that's been fun. What else have I been doing? I've been playing. I started playing Mario Pit Cross 2 because I had to test.
Pit Cross.
Yeah, I had to test some of our streaming stuff for an event coming up very soon. So I started playing that. And then when I realized I should have turned the stream off because I was done testing it, I just kept going for another few hours. Because I totally forgot it was even on, because Mario Pit Cross is a very addictive thing. Like, if you guys have never played Pit Cross before, that's probably one of the most fun puzzle games I've ever played. I've ever had the joy and experience of playing is Pit Cross. It's fun, the music's great, you're making all these cool shapes and stuff. It's like, it's kind of like Sudoku a little bit.
Yeah, it's like picture crossword. It's really, I think that's where the phrase comes from, but nah, Pit Cross is insanely good.
It's dope.
If you like puzzles, if you like thinking... That's it's a spectacular.
And I normally hate thinking.
I hate thinking.
It's terrible.
And yet I still enjoy the game.
Yeah, so that's been fun. I've been tinkering with a bunch of your toys at my house, which have been fun and disastrous at the same time. Chris gave me an Atari 7800 for me and my dad to poke around with so we can install a AV mod on it. So
let's back up a little bit here. Next Saturday, we're doing a charity streaming event for colon cancer called the Pain in the Ass-a-thon because butt humor, colon cancer, haha. We're all
because
gonna...
we take colon cancer seriously.
That's very seriously.
Obviously.
So we're going to be playing games that we consider a pain in the ass. So we all picked games that are just really difficult for us to play. One of the games that from the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast, any of you guys know that podcast, is a spectacular show. It's hosted by this really nice guy named Ferg. He is going through every single game that was ever released for Atari 2600, and he just gives the whole history and explains them game by game. It's phenomenal. He recommended I play Sword Quest Fireworld, which is a terrible game. You guys know the game Adventure for Atari 2600? Anybody know that one? It's the one with a little square, you walk around, you got the little duck dragon. Atari made these kind of sort of sequels to Adventure called the Sword Quest series. There's supposed to be four of them. They only ever released three because Atari. And they're messes of games. They're just a complete mess. The second one, Fireworld, is just... I've never played it because I've only played a little bit of Earthworld and said, I'm not doing this anymore. And then the Waterworld was only released mail order, and then Airworld just never came out. And they all had these crazy prizes attached to them. Like, one was an actual sword, and one was a crown with jewels in it. It was like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of prizes. It's ridiculous. There's a movie coming out later this year called Ready Player One. It will talk about these games. So one of the games I'm going to be playing is Fireworld. And in order to stream properly, I thought having an audio-video out would be better, because in old Atari 2600, they don't really have audio-video outs. You just do the old RF. So his dad knows electronics way better than I do, so I sent off my Atari to him to start modding that. He also made, because the other game that I'm personally going to be playing is Link Faces of Evil for CDI, which is one of the... They made three Zelda games for the Philips CDI, which is a CD-based game system... was basically where Nintendo went after the PlayStation thing happened, and there was a very brief period of time where Philips had the rights to use Nintendo characters, and they managed to fart out three Zelda games, which are so unreasonably bad. So I have the CDI, but I have the one that's just the one-handed remote controller, which makes playing this game even worse, and I found instructions for a mod where you can use a Super Nintendo controller on it. So I sent that out to Dean and his dad, and they made a Super Nintendo modification for the CDI. So that's what he's been working on.
Still not going to make the game any better, though.
No, nope. But I will be able
still
to move
a dumpster
and
fire.
Oh, my God.
Just an absolute atrocity.
The cutscenes alone in this thing are just... They're magical. There's voice acting There's just this terrible squiggly animation. Everything looks distorted. Link's like, I want to eat an Octorok. And it's, oh, God, it's so bad. So YouTube exists. Go look it up or watch me play it next Saturday.
Yeah, don't look it up. Don't ruin the surprise.
Yeah, don't ruin the surprise. I'll be playing that one at midnight next week. But Dan here also has a mission in his life. He mentioned on the show a few weeks back that he's never beaten Mike Tyson in Mike Tyson's
Punch-Out. Not even close.
So that's going to be his game. We're going to play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. I'm going to be his coach. I will be his Doc Lewis. And I will eat chocolate bars and say really strange things.
In a red tracksuit.
In a red tracksuit.
It's going to be very sexy. It's going to be the sexy portion of the show.
Clearly. And we're going to try to get him to beat that. Dean will be facing off against his arch nemesis. It's one of the last games we'll be playing. Is Bubsy in Claws Encounters of the Furred Kind for Super Nintendo. Dean, why don't you tell us all how much you love Bubsy?
I hate him. I hate him so much. Originally, we did a charity stream a couple years ago under a different name because the website wasn't always called Geekade. It used to be Geek Life with two threes because that's how you're cool.
Because and, lead speak is awesome.
Yeah, so actually Geek Life with two E's was taken, so we went with threes. anyway.
Because they're backwards.
Yeah, you no, they're better. That's they're better.
Okay.
Jokes are always funnier when
you explain them.
So we went, and I made it a 48-hour marathon for a child that had leukemia. And I did most of it by myself. I say I probably did 36 hours of it by myself. And when Bubsy rolled around, it was towards the end of the stream. So I was in a world of, like, fever dream that I never experienced in my life. And I probably got close to the end, and at one point when I just died, I was like, I'm done. I'm done. I don't care anymore. I'm done. I don't want to play this. I want to go cry in a corner for the next 4 hours. I slept. It had to be a solid day after that. I didn't go to work. I literally just called out, and I was like, I'm going to bed. And I slept for a solid day. I felt better after, but that sting of Bubsy beating me never left. Yeah, I'm going to go back and play that, hopefully with more sleep under my belt, because this is only a 24-hour marathon. So even if I was up the entire time, still wouldn't add up.
Still do it.
Yeah. Didn't you play the original Five Nights at Freddy's for that, too?
No, I played Outlast.
Outlast,
okay.
Yeah.
Because we should put in Five Nights at Freddy's 4 for this, because that is the other thing we've been playing in my house. I have two daughters. They're both 7. One wanted to play Undertale, which we tried playing, and I found terrible. I know that puts me in the minority of a lot of people, but if somebody wants to explain it later, that'd be great as to why Undertale is a thing. But my other 7-year-old...
You have no soul, therefore you don't like it.
That's certainly possible. My other daughter really loves Five Nights at Freddy's. Totally into it. And it's interesting to see a game franchise that has remained incredibly popular, yet has gotten progressively worse with each iteration. Like, the first one is fun. Like, you know, it's good. The second one is pretty cool. The third one is garbage, in my opinion. And the fourth one is way creepier. Like, I don't know, do you know?
Because you're a kid.
You're a kid and, like, you're running, but it's nausea-inducing. As you run, like, the camera dips as you run over to the door. There's a weird breathing mechanic. I don't know. It's very strange.
Oh, they got a new one coming out, so
absolutely
I'm
fit with
that.
Our pain in the ass. But it's very strange to see this franchise that still, I mean, there's tons of Five Nights at Freddy's stuff out there. I bought my kid all the toys and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, she loves it, but it's gotten worse. I don't know if that's a thing.
Franchises do get worse. I mean, that's not too...
But, demonstrably worse.
Wow, big word. $5 word.
Well, you know.
I don't know.
That's what I bring to the show, is the class and the education.
He's crapped them out so quick. I believe the developer, Scott Cawthon, he was making them
almost... He's coughing them out?
Oh, boy. That's...
Good night, everybody.
Oh, God, Chris, thank you. I don't know. I mean, they could be better, but he doesn't put enough time into them. He has a new one coming out called Sister Location, which is supposed to be in the same canon of the book. By the way, they made a book. It's not half bad. You should probably read it if you like Five Nights at Freddy's. So we'll see how that goes.
And they're
goes.
Making a movie.
Yeah, they are making
a movie. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll see
I wonder
if
there'll be jump scares in it. Do you think they'll go for that?
No.
Is that just too on the nose?
Yeah, they're not going to go for that.
It's
going to
be like Care Bears, the movie. It's gonna, nobody's going to see it coming.
It's going to be the actual what happens during the day at Freddy Fazbear's Pizza. Like, it's just going to be the weirdest.
Just Chuck E. Cheese.
This is just
strange. A bunch of kids eating pizza. This is weird.
Why did I pay $18 for this?
That's
goodness.
Very true. Yeah.
What other game franchises have gotten worse like that over time?
I'm trying Bubsy? To...
Sonic.
Yeah, actually, that's a good call. Bubsy did legitimately keep getting worse. Like, the first one is kind of a tolerable Sonic ripoff. Like, it's not terrible. It's not good by any stretch of the imagination. Then they did the Jaguar one, Fractured Furry Tales, which was... I mean, it was on the Atari Jaguar, so... It was
not
like
much to say
Bubsy,
there.
But worse. Then they did Bubsy 2, which introduced Nerf guns, because Nerf guns are awesome. And then they did Bubsy 3D, and yeah, each game got progressively worse. That was it was very sad. I think Metroid kind of had a similar thing going on lately. I mean, what do we got? We had the Prime Trilogy, which was great, but each one was worse than the last one, I thought.
Federation Force might end up being the best game ever made.
But it won't
it's
be the
possible
best.
Because
it will never
you
be the best
it.
Metroid game ever made.
You I don't just, know that. You I, haven't played it.
That's true. It is next level games. They don't make bad games.
I they mean, might have made a bad one though.
It's we'll possible. It certainly is certainly the ugliest game I think they've ever made. I mean, they did the Mario Strikers games. They did Punch Out Wii, which was extraordinary. They did Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon for 3DS.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Weird.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not sold yet. I mean, who would be sold after playing Rocket League with Metroid characters?
Oh yeah, they released the demo for Blast Ball and they didn't tell anybody. It's just
there you go. What's up?
It's out. Enjoy. Play some Blast Ball.
Don't enjoy it. Play Rocket League. It's better.
Yeah, it's basically
much better.
That game would have been really fun if Rocket League didn't exist.
Like totally.
I had an okay time playing the demo. It was all right.
I'm glad you did, Chris. I am glad. You did.
I'm glad I did, too.
So I guess that's that kind of...
Yeah, that kind of wraps up the amount of content. Does anybody have any questions for us? Anybody have any burning things they want to know?
Burning Man? No. Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Scorpion. Yes, sir. The hardest game you guys ever played. Hardest game that we've ever played.
Hard because it's just awful or hard because it's good but legitimately difficult?
Okay. Well, I know for me, aside from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, since I've never, still can't beat him, Silver Surfer for the original NES is brutal. A really good game if you get really good at it, but you're going to die a whole lot to get really good at it. Because, like, one-hit death in that game is so unfair. And it basically just comes down to memorization. Like, it really is just a game where you have to memorize where everything's coming. But there's a Silver Surfer game for the NES, yeah. So, like, that's really awesome and weird that that exists. But without question, for me, that hardest thing I've ever played.
Did you ever beat it?
No, not even close. Not even, nope. I gave up. Wait, I just watch YouTube. I'm like, watch a YouTube video and I'll feel like I've done so.
That's the way to do it. Comic Zone.
Oh,
Comic Zone for the Sega Genesis is punishingly hard, and
everything hurts you.
Yeah.
There's a block in your way that you have to get, you have to break it, and so you have to punch it, and that takes health away. Into
well,
a shoulder
have you ever
charge.
Punched a block? It hurts.
I've never been in a comic book either. I don't know.
Well, when we go outside, I think there's some blocks outside.
Just
start
punching,
wailing
start
away
punching
them.
And see if you don't go, ah, my nux, man. Jeez.
Shouldn't lose health because of it. Anyway, yeah, that game, I think I've made... Well, no, we made it to the third level.
Yeah, I think we did. We made it to level 3. That was about as far as I've ever made it in that game.
Yeah, and at that point, we were like, no, we're done. That's it. We're not getting any further. We died once, and I think it was like right at the beginning of the level, because even the jumps are difficult in that game. Like, you have to be very exact on where you're going to be jumping, especially in the later levels. And it wasn't that fun. Like, the original novelty of it, like, you know, the way it looks and everything, the power-ups, the, you know, hopping panel to panel is great, and then it kind of wears off when you just keep dying constantly.
When you can't ever see any more of it. Like, all right, I've seen this screen 500 times. I'm going to go watch a YouTube video of it, of somebody who's better than me.
I don't think anyone's better than me at that game, because
that
game's
just
difficult.
That's the only game that has never been beaten? Is that what you're claiming?
Yes.
I find that to be ridiculous.
I'm sure it has.
I'm going to get a Game Genie on that one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I would have to go with Cliffhanger for Sega CD. Started off as Cliffhanger for the Genesis. My friends and I used to rent this game. And, you know, back in the day when you had to rent games, that's how you got to play games. You'd go to the rental store, you'd pick out a game. He came home with Cliffhanger one day, and you would just try to beat it over the weekend. And this game is brutal.
So you were like, that was such a dope film. Like, the plot, I need more of this story. It can't be over after an hour and 40 minutes. It just can't.
I need the game. All right, so it's kind of like a brawler with some really dumb platforming in it, and then it's got these chase sequences where the avalanche is behind you, and you have to, like, memorize the patterns. It's kind of like that thing in Battletoads when you're on the bikes. So,
with Sylvester Stallone
on foot. And so
way better.
Eventually, we gave up because we got really far into the game. We eventually made it to the last boss, which I'll get to in a minute. But I thought it would be really cool if I found the best version of the game available. So I thought the Sega CD version would be the best. So I got that one, had my friends over. We started playing it. They changed the avalanche sequences to a behind the Stallone view of you on like a board cruising down a mountain, dodging rocks. It is insanely hard, but if you eventually make your way through that game, the last boss, which as far as we've gotten and never beaten, is a fist fight with a helicopter. There's a helicopter, and you have your hands, and you have to punch the helicopter until the game is over. I hate it. I hate it so much. And that game has continuously beaten me for years. I almost made it part of the Pain in the Ass-a-thon, but I didn't want to be that angry when I was doing it. Maybe next year, if we do this again, I'll throw Cliffhanger on there, but that is...
I don't know why you have such a problem with the logic of that. He was also Rocky.
Yeah.
Clearly he can punch
gloves.
A helicopter. Clearly.
Ugh. God. The helicopter just kind of hovers around. It barfs up a bunch of dudes that come out of there and try to fight you, and it also has machine guns on the front of it. And you just have to, like, do these stupid jump punches and whatnot. I don't know. I might not even be doing it the right way. I could be completely wrong, because it takes forever to even get to that part of the game.
You're actually, there's just a switch on the other side of the board. You just want, it's the shut-off helicopter
it's
switch.
It's the win button. It's right,
yeah,
over,
it's right over there.
Hidden behind John Lithgow.
Is John Lithgow in that movie?
Wasn't he? Yeah, he was, the bad, yeah.
He's the villain. He is the villain,
yeah,
of the piece, Dean.
When I saw that movie, I was like six.
Well, you should watch it again. It's wonderful.
No, thank you. I'd rather watch Over the Top again.
Flip my hat.
Much better movie.
It's like a switch.
Oh, that's when you know he's serious.
Any other questions from the room?
Yeah. What's your favorite retro console and favorite game?
Oh, boy. Favorite retro... where is the cutoff for retro console?
PlayStation 4.
PS2. PlayStation 4.
No?
PS2 era.
Too,
all right.
Okay.
Do you guys want to take this one first? Or?
For me, TurboGrafx-16 and Splatterhouse. Because it's just, you walk around as an escaped mental patient trying to rescue your girlfriend from a dude with chainsaw hands, and you have a pink hockey mask, and you pick up a 2x4 and hit monsters. I was the only one of my friends who had this game when I was a kid. Everybody else was like, we got Super Nintendos. I was like, I got a TurboGrafx-16. You all suck. Like, you can't play Turbo. You can't play Splatterhouse or Legendary Axe.
You can't play Hue Cards.
You can't play Hue Cards, sir. Come on now. But it was such a cool game, and it was so different from everything else that was out at the time. They've made some sequels to it that were on Genesis, I think. Mm-hmm. Splatterhouse 3 was.
I think and 2 then, and 3 were on Genesis, I think.
Were they? And then there was a remake that was either PS2 or PS3, and when you played through it, like, and they turned it into a 3D action game, and it was all right. It didn't have any of the charm, I suppose, for lack of a better term, of the original Splatterhouse. But once you played through that, you could unlock the original 3. So that's another way to play them. But they're awesome games and so ridiculous. Like, legitimately, you fight a guy that is all red and weird and pussy and has chainsaws for hands. Like, that's in a bag over his face. It's just a weird, creepy, strange game.
His name is Ron.
Tough day in the life right there.
Steve Chainsaw Hands. Mr. Chainsaw Hands. It's like, if you like Evil Dead 2 or that sort of thing, this game is right up your alley. So, without question.
All right. There is this series.
I feel well prepared today.
Yeah, you're doing well. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
There's this series for the Sega Genesis that for the life of me, I can't remember the name of the series anymore. I'm pretty sure it was
Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah, Echo the Dolphin.
But it is your favorite?
Well, yeah, I haven't played it in a very long time.
It was Bubsy.
Would you let me explain?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's going to be your face.
Jesus.
So I'm pretty sure it was called Jungle Strike, Urban Strike.
Yeah, the EA Strike series,
You go into a helicopter and you just blow. It was Grand Theft Auto before there was Grand Theft Auto. And it like, five-year-old me is like, I get to shoot missiles at bad guys? Yeah, that's great. And then they made it so that, oh, you want to do a hovercraft? Get in a hovercraft. Just do it. You want a tank? Get in a tank. And it was a lot of fun. Like, I don't remember what the point of the game was. I think it was to save the world.
Shoot bad guys.
It was a lot of fun growing up. If you're talking about now, that is definitely not my favorite anymore. But growing up, like, I would pop that in all the time because it was really cool. I'd have to say on a retro system, I like Rocket Knight Adventures a lot. That was a really, really cool game.
Going with Genesis.
That's yes. Is that system. A problem with...
No, I'm just... Okay. I wanted to say it since you seem to refuse to.
Here are all these games that I won't tell you where you can play them.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry. Yeah, I like Genesis stuff. So Rocket Knight Adventure and the Strike series, I guess that's what it was called. I used to go to Value City when that was a thing in North Jersey, and they used to have this bargain bin filled with Sega games because Sega kind of fell down the crapper after a point. And, I got tons of carts of just these different games. And, yeah, one was, like, the entire Strike series, and I had so much fun playing that. Oh, and who can forget Primal Rage, that giant monsters fighting each other and murdering each other. That was great when you're a kid, not so great when you're an adult and you can realize what a good game is. that was definitely interesting growing up, too. So, yeah, I think three's enough.
Claymation monsters peeing on one another. What more could you want? I got to go Super Nintendo. I mean, the library in Super Nintendo is just absolute insanity. There's so many good games on there. Picking a favorite is hard. I'd have to say Super Metroid. Link to the Past is up there. Chrono Trigger is up there. But Super Metroid is, in my opinion, as close to a perfect game as you can get. It achieves storytelling in a video game medium like very few other things ever did. It manages to tell a story through the gameplay in such a remarkable manner. It looks gorgeous to this day. It animates great. The sense of atmosphere, sense of solitude, the music, every single piece of that game comes together so flawlessly. And every time I go back to it, I'm still impressed by it. Still impressed every time. But if I had to pick one gaming console, a retro console, it'd have to be Super Nintendo because there's too much good stuff on there. There's the Super Mario All-Stars collection, for crying out loud, with the Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island, anything with the FX chip just for the goof of it. Like
Clay Fighter.
Clay Fighter, yes.
It's best
I was,
thing ever.
I was playing...
Bad Mr. Snow.
What was it? Stunt Race FX. My son loves watching me play Stunt Race FX. It moves like a flip book. I think it runs at 4 frames per second or something. It's nigh unplayable, but once you get the hang of it, it's really fun. It's Atari 2600 will always have a place in my heart because it was my first gaming console, and it's so different from anything else modern because you didn't have big games for it. They just didn't exist. Everything on it is pick up and play. But Super Nintendo, hands down. All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. Just have to plug it one more time, the Pain in the Assathon from Geekade.com. It's next Saturday. It's all day long, running into Sunday, 10 a.m. Saturday till 10 a.m. Sunday, and possibly later if we raise enough money. We're teamed up with the Colon Cancer Alliance. It is an official charity. We're going to suffer through horrible games, some really good games, but all very difficult games, and it's all for a good cause. So if you've got nothing to do on Saturday and Sunday, please head over to the Geekade Twitch channel and watch us play terrible games.
Even if you have something to do, like cancel your plans,
cancel your plans.
There will be a lot more bad language, I would imagine, though. Like, we're pretty clean here, but, you know, like, if you have, like, other people in the room, you might want to, like,
headphones.
We'll put that on mute for a
there
sec.
There will be frustration. We'll be playing Mega Man the Wily Wars at one point, which is that's a 16-bit remake on the genesis of the first 3 Mega Man games. And the first 3 Mega Man games are tough enough on their own, especially the first one, but this is the Genesis version, which is weird as heck.
Yeah, they're not good.
No. Yeah, no. We'll be playing Knuckles Chaotix together, which is a Sonic
and
the Hedgehog spinoff
of the 32X.
Yes, you'll hear the cries of the 32X with two characters rubber banded to one another because somebody thought that was a good idea.
It's a great idea.
Other than that, we're part of a website called Geekade.com. We post something new every day. We have another podcast about comic books that these two guys are on called Paper Cuts. I do a video game music podcast called Waveback. We have a gaming podcast like Tabletop Gaming called You Shall Not Pass Go. We do articles almost every day of the week. We do a couple of video things, video series on our YouTube channel. And dumb stuff like this marathon. So check out geekade.com. It is what we spend all of our waking time on. And thanks, Long Island Retro, for having us. Thanks for inviting us. This was a lot of fun. Buy great things here. We've all gotten some pretty interesting things. There's a ton of great stuff on the show floor. It's very hot in there, but it's so worth your time. You can find us all on the social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, MySpace, LiveJournal.
Grindr.
we're on all
and
of
Tinder.
That stuff.
Don't forget.
And Tinder. Don't forget the Tinder. Right. So, on behalf of Dean, Dan, and myself, keep playing games.